to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 89. I got Elizabeth here with me.
Hey.
Hey, Elizabeth. So today is a historic podcast. Do you know what you want to weigh?
Why?
Okay, first of all, do you say ahistoric or anhistoric? I've heard both. I think it's ahistoric because it starts with a consonant sound.
Yeah, ahistoric.
His. Let's just say anhistoric, but then you sound like you're doing a bad Cockney accent. But this is anhistoric. Now I can't think of how to do it.
This is a historic episode.
You know why?
Why?
It's the first time I've ever done a podcast under the influence of drugs.
Yikes.
So last night, and I wasn't doing anything strenuous. I think I was, to be honest, taking off my pants. and suddenly my back went, like it didn't make that noise. But if it had made a noise,
it would kind of.
That's the noise it would have made. And since then, my back has been spasming. I've had back spasms. I've never had this before. Mom's had it a few times. Mm-hmm. It's really, really unpleasant. I don't recommend it. It's like my lower back on my left side. So when I walk, it's like I can take steps with my right side. It's fine. But then when I take a step with my left side, it's like, no, no, no.
Is it like?
It is. It's like. And it's not good. So I called, it's on a weekend right now when we're recording this. And I called the doctor and got the answering service. And they phoned me in a prescription for muscle relaxants.
Oh, yeah.
So I am under the influence of muscle relaxants right now. I can't really tell that it's doing anything because I'm still having the spasms.
Really?
But I don't know. It's supposed to help. I'm under the influence of muscle relaxants, which I think it says on the bottle that you're not supposed to operate heavy machinery or do podcasts, but I'm throwing caution to the wind.
Does it say do podcasts?
And doing like a podcast. It says you're not supposed to do podcasts while you're taking this medication, but I'm doing it anyway.
The police are on their way.
So that's lots of fun. Yeah, we got to get this podcast done before they get here and put all the equipment away and just pretend like it never happened. How are you?
I am good. This is not the first podcast that I have been under the influence of drugs.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I mean, how come you got applause for that, though?
That was the studio audience was shocked and appalled by your revelation.
I mean, I think I've taken ibuprofen before a podcast before.
Well,
is
that's
that too
okay,
risque?
Then. No, no, okay, no, that's okay. Fine. That's fine. I wasn't going to ask you if you'd ever been under the influence.
No.
Being a college student and all, you know, you never know what kind of an answer you're going to get.
Oh, yeah. Before the podcast, I was just upstairs just like downing bottles of cough medicine.
Getting that nice robo-buzz.
What?
When I was a kid, that was the big thing. I don't think it's a thing anymore because I think they took the codeine out of Robitussin. But that was this thing is you do a whole bunch of Robitussin and it. You get a codeine buzz from it.
So they called it robo-buzz? Because that sounds really misleading.
Doing robo, because it's Robitussin.
Yeah, but robo-buzz sounds like a...
Like a robot?
It sounds like a really cool cyberpunk magazine.
Yeah, it kind of does. Robo-cyber-buzz. No, that
What's
was like
cyber-buzz?
when I was in high school, kids would take... They would drink like a whole bottle of Robitussin cough medicine. It was really, really bad for you.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I think there's
terrible.
Something kids do like that now, and it's also really bad for you.
Something like that.
Kids,
I'm not.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
And especially don't do drugs and do podcasts because it's very bad.
Yeah. And don't do drugs if you are living in an apartment with very thin walls and downstairs neighbors who do not appreciate the smell of said drugs.
Yeah. Hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Speaking. Hypothetically speaking, don't make that mess happen on your downstairs neighbors.
Don't do it.
And then when
drugs.
Your parents come pick you up at college, they're like, Elizabeth, Is there something you want to tell us?
Why is the hypothetical situation? Why do all of your clothes situation
smell like
the devil's herb?
Marijuana? It's worth asking.
It's worth asking, yeah. But it is me. It's not my... It's... Crud. Freudian slip. It is my upstairs neighbors. It's not me.
How are you? Did we ever get to that?
Nope, we haven't. Thank you for asking. I'm good.
Anything exciting happening in college? You're home for the weekend, yes, which is why we're able to podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things are kind of busy. I just got hit with my first round of exams and essays and projects and everything. So I'm kind of right in the middle of that right now. But something exciting did happen I think it was about a week ago or so, but I haven't told the podcast, our listeners.
You've got an announcement.
I have an announcement. I beat Bust a Move 2 on Nintendo 64. Thank you.
Is it Bust a Move 2? It's the second.
It's the second
Bust a Move.
Second one.
Do we even have Bust a Move? Just Bust a Move 2, right?
Just Bust a Move 2, and
I don't
really
know what the history
like,
of that video game is.
Yeah, I tried to look it up. There's not much information on it. It's like this forgotten game.
Bust a Move is a great game. I think it's also referred to as Bubble Bobble.
Bubble Bobble?
Yeah,
that's way more
Bubble
fun.
Bubble
Bobble
is more fun to say. It's really fun to say. But it's like where you shoot the little bubbles up, and if there are three of them connected, then they pop.
Yeah.
It's a puzzle game.
For those of our listeners that grew up with Neopets, it's kind of basically just fairy bubbles from Neopets.
Fairy bubbles? I don't know about that.
Yeah, well,
there have been lots of versions of that game, but I think Bubble Bobble / Bust a Move was like the original.
It's got to be, right?
I think so. And it has really good soundtrack. I really like the music on it.
Are you looking for the music on your phone right now?
I'm looking at it on YouTube to see if they've got it so we can play a little bit of it.
I like the music too. It's really upbeat and cute. But I usually like if I'm feeling stressed out or whatever, my new hobby has been to listen to podcasts while I play Bust a Move.
Apparently at one point it was also called Puzzle Bottle. Puzzle Bobble?
Puzzle Bobble?
That's harder to say, though. I like Bubble Bobble.
Bubble Bobble is great. They should have stuck with that. There's
Bust a Move 2 Arcade Edition.
Yeah, that's the version that we have.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's try this. Let me see. This is like the one that sounds like an island theme.
That's like a more complex version, I feel like.
This is like a video that's like 29 minutes long.
What
I don't know
is
if
it?
It's just the exact... It's just this music over and over, I think. I was thinking it might have some of the other themes in it, but I'm kind of flipping through it.
Well, if you want, I can just do like my version of
you
different
You want to sing
song.
It for us?
Just sort of scat some out real quick.
See what else we have.
Well,
here
now
on.
I have that in my head, so I don't really know... I can't really think of the other themes.
I'm just trying to... Oh, this is the Japanese version. For the Japanese version of the video game.
None of these are how they appear in the game, by the way. These are all different versions.
Weird. It's weird there are so many different versions. Let's try this one. This sounds similar.
That's pretty close.
To the Nintendo 64 version that you have.
I think it's a tad bit faster in the game.
So anyway, you have our old Nintendo 64, which I believe I bought during law school.
Yeah, it's old as heck.
Old.
But it's
you.
Still
Thank
well.
You very
I mean,
much.
for a gaming console, it's pretty darn old.
It's fun, though.
I mean...
And you have it at college, yeah. And you completed the whole game. Like, on puzzle mode, is that what it was?
No, versus
Oh, the
computer.
Versus, where you play the computer game.
Where you play the different, little mascots or whatever.
And you beat them all.
I beat them all. There's a surprisingly climactic, because you're just sort of, like, skipping around from, like, different little cute thing. Like, oh, I'm going to play, like, Baby Dracula or something like that. I'm going to beat him at his bubble bursting game. Or,
Baby
I'm going to beat... you know, pink sheep girl. I'm going to beat a living light bulb, I guess. I don't know the lore.
I don't know.
The rich, deep backstory behind Bust a Move 2 Arcade Edition. But when you get to the final guy, it's like there's this like text and like the music changes and everything and it gets all ominous and it's like a giant spaceship is approaching and then you have to beat the spaceship and then like a tiny small alien like pops out of the spaceship and you have to beat him too. And then like the credits roll and it's surprisingly like kind of climactic. So it was fun.
Did you get a sense of accomplishment?
Yeah, I did. I got a sense of accomplishment.
I'm trying to remember, is it like they give you a code each time you finish a level? And then you have to plug the cone in?
No.
Or does it save it to the...
I don't have like a save card or anything, so I just start over every time.
So you had to do it all in one sitting?
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't...
How long does it take?
It's an arcade edition. It's not too long, really. Each round takes about a minute.
Several hours.
Each round takes about a minute, and I think there's...
Do you get to just start over, or do you only have a certain number of lives?
You only have a certain amount of lives.
So that's more of an accomplishment, then.
Yeah.
You can't just start it. It's like doing it all on a single quarter,
mm-hmm.
if it were the arcade, you know?
Yeah.
Well, very impressive. I'm very, very impressed.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that's how you're spending your time at college.
Is playing Bust a Move too?
Since that's how I spent my time at law school, it's only appropriate. Anything else exciting happening?
Our cat keeps getting bigger, which sounds really ominous. But like,
no, this is true. I visited your apartment. We didn't go into the apartment last time when we picked you up, mm-hmm. just yesterday. But the last time I was at your apartment, we did go into the apartment. And I saw your cat, and it looked like it was at least twice as big as last time I saw your cat.
Okay, that's an exaggeration, but
I don't know if it is, because the first time I saw it had been a while since I'd seen your cat. I think it was, like, closer to a kitten when I had seen it before.
Yeah, she was about the size of, like, a older kitten, I guess.
What's your cat's name? I don't know your cat's name.
Sasha.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha, the cat.
Sasha the cat, who... is a very, very sweet cat and probably one of the sweetest cats that I know, which is good because I have met a lot of really terrible cats.
Cats have a lot of range. I guess dogs do too, but cats, it seems like, can be very affectionate or not at all affectionate or very aggressive and mean.
Or just kind of like kind of just an aloof roommate that you don't know very well.
Yeah,
like...
that seems to be sort of default for cats is like, I'll put up with you as long as you feed me and stuff. And I'll just stay out of your way if you stay out of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sasha's, we think that she might be part Maine Coon, which if you're familiar with cat breeds, they get to be pretty big. When we got her at the Dallas
junior
shelter.
Junior bobcat sized.
Junior bobcat, yeah. They're ridiculously like playful and amicable and like are a good family type cat. People call them like the dogs of cats, but I feel like that's kind of a misnomer because even if it's... a friendly cat, it's not going to act like a dog.
Yeah.
And I've never had a dog get right up close to my pillow and smack me in the face until I fed them at 5 a.m. in the morning. 5 a.m. yeah. in the morning. I'm great at words today.
5 a.m. in the morning is good just to sort of underline the fact that it's in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's really early.
Yeah, 5 a.m. in the morning. Oh, we recently got a alarm clock to put in our bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Because Bex, my roommate that I share a room and bathroom with, doesn't do a good job, like, making sure to, like, get up on time and everything. So it's nice to have, like, a loud thing in another room that you have to get up and walk over to turn off. Sasha has been very confused by this, and I think a couple days ago it started going off while Sasha was in the bathroom and like standing on the counter next to it, and she starts screaming at it and just like just so confused and so bewildered and angry that this was happening.
Why is this thing? Is the bathroom kind of Sasha's domain?
Not really. She goes wherever. She really likes, She likes standing on the counter and drinking from the faucet. And she really likes sitting on her little cat tree that we have next to our desk. And she likes sitting on the couch and the beds.
It seems like I saw something on Twitter where something about a toilet cat. Is that not a thing?
No.
Hashtag toilet cat.
Toilet cat. Toilet cat. Yeah. Me and our roommates are mean to her. Sometimes we tease her. Because sometimes when we leave the toilet seat open, like the toilet, like not the lid off.
The lid off.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
the seat up, but the lid off.
The lid off. Yeah. She will act very, very interested in the toilet. And at one point she thought that the lid was up and tried to jump on top of the lid and just ended up just getting in the water and freaking out. And running all around the house soaking wet.
Oh, so she jumped up onto it and went, oh no, there's a hole in here. That's very sad.
Yeah, so.
It's funny though.
So we have kind of like a beware of toilet cat type thing going on where we'll say that to each other so that we'll close the lid.
Oh, I get it. Now I understand.
Yeah, yeah. We have a few other things too. Like when she gets in her litter box, she will like. Her toes are very fluffy. Again, she's like a really fluffy cat. And Maine Coons tend to have like really fluffy toes so that they can walk on snow and stuff. But to fix the fact that litter gets stuck in her fluff, she will like thump against, like she will hit her paws against the side of her litter box when she's ready to go out to sort of get it all clean and everything. And whenever we hear her thumping, everybody will just look at each other and go, she's pooping. Because we're mean to her.
Well, it's nice to know that she's giving you a little sign.
She's giving us a little sign.
Her litter box is going to need to be cleaned out.
Just so y'all know, I'm doing a poop in here.
Well, just so that, you know, Sasha doesn't take all of the podcast, we should probably do a Maisie update. And the other reason we should do a Maisie update is because you need to hear our snazzy new Maisie update drop. That is our Maisie update drop.
That's amazing. How did you get her recorded?
Just recorded her barking at the roofers, actually, when we got our roof fixed. There were roofers in the backyard, and she liked to climb up onto the top of the couch and bark at them. So I recorded her barking. She doesn't bark that much, so I had to use that opportunity. And then put a nice, you know, breaking news effect behind it.
That's the best drop. That's replaced. How can you even know that as my favorite drop?
I'm trying to find that one so we can play it. Because we don't play that one all that much.
We don't play that one nearly enough.
Here it is.
Like anyone can even know that.
Yeah, that was... Where did you get that from?
It's from a Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I was thinking it was from Arrested Development.
Oh, no. It's a Napoleon Dynamite sound clip. Yeah, so Maisie, there's not a whole lot to update, but she does have this habit lately. I don't know, and I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast. So Maisie, of course, is our Boston Terrier.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little dog. You can find her at BTMaisie on Instagram, Maisie the Boston Terrier.
Mm-hmm. Just drop a quick promotion. But she's kind of like a Boston Terrier and kind of like a really leggy guinea pig. She's very small. She's way smaller than most Boston Terriers, I think.
And I think you made the comment that, you know, cats can't be like dogs, but there's a spectrum there. They don't overlap, but she's probably closer to the cat side of the spectrum than she is. Like, she's still a dog, obviously.
Yeah.
But sometimes she acts a little like a cat. But the one thing she's been doing lately is, you know, she hangs out. She's got her kennel that's just across the room here. It's just a crate, like a wire crate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bed in it. But she likes to drag the bed out of her crate and just put it anywhere in the house and just plop down on it. I don't know why she does this. Sometimes she'll just hang out in her crate, but sometimes she just wants to drag the bed around.
It's a cozy spot.
She also likes to chew on it. She'll just put it in her mouth and just like kind of gnaw like a baby with a pacifier.
And the thing is, she can't be chewing very hard, though, is because there's no holes in it or anything. And we've had it basically since we've had her.
Yeah, she's not trying to eat it, because if she did, she could.
She has destroyed so many toys.
The IKEA pillows that we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But so she's not trying to destroy it, which she could do if she wanted to. She's kind of gnawing on it. Just self-soothing, I think they call it, with children.
Yeah, Mom says that Maisie reminds her of, like, an Eastern European orphan that you'd see on, like, documentaries where, like, children that had been, like, escaped into the forest and raised by wolves and they were never, like, socialized properly and stuff. Yeah,
she's not quite that bad. I have met dogs like that before where you can tell, like, they're just not domesticated.
Yeah.
She's okay. She has, at her worst, she's a little bit like that, but she's really not that bad.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, dogs have to learn that they're not, you know, Call of the Wild Jack London dogs. They are just pet dogs. They need to behave like people to some extent. All right, let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
So speaking of dogs, on the last episode, we talked about how Kansas had ruled that a dog may not run for governor, even though there's nothing in the statute that says the candidate must be human. They said that a dog could not run. And what was that dog's name? Angus. Angus the dog was told that he may not run for governor of Pennsylvania. Or, I'm sorry, Kansas. Governor of Kansas. The reason I say Pennsylvania, though, is the statute also does not say how old you have to be or whether or not you have to be a resident to run for governor of Kansas. And an 18-year-old man from Pennsylvania has taken advantage of these facts and filed his candidacy for Kansas governor. The Topeka Capital Journal reports that 18-year-old Connor Shelton, a University of Delaware student from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, has entered the race for governor. It seems like the sort of thing someone named Connor would do, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I have to say, as much as I enjoyed the idea of young people running government, I mean, the last time this happened, it was just a disaster. So, you ever heard of a little thing called Ice Town?
I have not heard of a thing called Ice
Town. Oh, never mind then. It's a Parks and Recreation joke.
Oh, I think I do remember this. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but yeah. I think I have seen this. Yep. And it didn't end well.
It didn't end well. No.
For, what's the character's name?
Ben Wyatt.
Ben. It did not end well for Ben. It caused lots of long-term strife and trauma.
Yeah.
18-year-old Connor Shelton is actually the seventh teenager to enter the race, but he's the first teenager from outside of Kansas to put his name in. So all kinds of chaos in the Kansas governor race, caused by the fact that people realize that the statute is just really, I don't know if it's
vague.
A statute or if it's the Kansas Constitution. Anyway, there's a lot of chaos there. They're going to have a lot of crazy people on that ballot. Unless there's a
Kansas
legal challenge to all these people running. Just an update. So
yeah,
Angus the dog, who was unfairly wronged, is now being followed by a bunch of teenagers.
I mean, that's tragic.
Yeah. Do you want to give us your story? You've got an interesting story.
Yeah, it's really interesting. The headline is "Skier Lost in New York Doesn't Know How He Got to California." And to sum it up, essentially, this guy went on a ski trip in the
Adirondacks.
And got lost on a skiing trip, and then, like, a couple days later, showed up in Sacramento, which was, like, 2,500 miles away. And he has at least some memories. Like, he knows his wife, and he remembers who he is and everything, but, like, doesn't really remember how he got there. He says he remembers suffering a head injury of some sort and traveling on a big rig truck, and apparently he was confused and unable to give direct answers. But the thing is about this story is that there's a lot of people involved with really wacky names. The guy who was lost, his name was Konstantinos Filippidis.
Constantinos Philippidis, which is a very classic Greek name.
Yeah. And the officer apparently in charge of his case, his name is John Tibbetts.
John Tibbetts is a good name.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a J.K. Rowling character, kind of.
Kind of does, or like a Charles Dickens.
Yeah, they both have very similar like
Officer
naming.
Officer Tibbetts.
Officer Tibbetts. Yeah.
So are there any theories about what happened here?
There's no theories. The officer said that it was basically too early in the investigation to comment on details. The most interesting thing about this, besides the fact that he disappeared in New York and ended up in California, is that he bought an iPhone to call his wife and told deputies that a truck dropped him off in downtown Sacramento, where he got a haircut.
He got a haircut.
Yeah, like
apparently
he
was still wearing his ski clothes too, right?
Yeah, he was still wearing his ski clothes. A large truck dropped him off, and before he bought an iPhone and called his wife, he got a haircut. Because that's, I mean, hey, at least, you know, he's taking care of himself.
His grooming is important.
His grooming is definitely important.
So we've talked about, you and I have talked about on the podcast before, something called a dissociative fugue state.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that's what happened here. Like somehow he just lost all sense of identity and got sort of temporary amnesia. But somehow a ski trip ended up with, he's in California. And apparently there was an extensive manhunt too. Have you talked about this already?
No, I haven't. But yeah, there was like a huge, like, yeah, they were just, everybody was out there looking for them, the police department and his friends and family and everything.
Yeah, like helicopters and ski patrols and people kind of combing the area. And he was not anywhere to be found because he apparently was being driven by a long haul trucker to California.
Yeah. Honestly, like, dissociative fugue states are one of those things that is apparently, like, a lot of like, pop psychology type stuff isn't actually really true. Like, the whole, like, repressed memories is only, like...
Yeah, or multiple personality disorders.
Multiple personality, that's completely
misrepresented. It's not how you see it in movies or TV.
Yeah, but fugue state, which barely anybody talks about, that's completely real and has like documented like stories and stuff and has been known pretty much since forever. And it's just super weird and nobody knows why it happens. It just does.
Yeah. And it seems like with this, these sort of facts, there's usually two options. One is a dissociative fugue state, which seems to be a likely explanation for what's happening here. Or the other one is, you know, some sort of fraud. Like someone is intentionally trying to go missing because they're trying to dodge some debts, or, you know, people will fake their own deaths for various reasons.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem to be the latter though, because the guy himself is coming forward and saying, I'm here and I don't know how we got here.
Yeah, like he called his wife, he's like, you know, reaching out to different people. He was only gone 6 days. I mean,
yeah, but 6 days is a long time to just be missing. I mean, like, if a family member was missing that long, that'd be pretty freaky.
Yeah, it really would. But I mean,
and 6 days, though, is not that long to get to California, though, because, you know, just driving straight, it would take you 2 or 3 days to get there.
Yeah.
Probably 3 or 4 even.
What I thought when I saw this story is that this sounds like the news article that somebody would like write at the end of like a fantasy, like a YA fantasy book. And this guy like got involved with like some fairies or sci-fi time travel or something like that.
Yeah, that or like a Pulp Fiction noir mystery. Like,
yeah,
what happened to this person? How come he ended up across the country? And there's some sort of shady characters he met along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. I wonder, I don't know if they'll ever really find out kind of what happened here other than he had some sort of psychological break or something.
Yeah. I mean, he said that he remembered sustaining a head injury. So that probably had something to do with it.
Yeah, like send him into a psychological state that made him, and maybe, and obviously he must have like, you know, hitchhiked with some trucker or something and said, I need to get somewhere. Just take me where you're going. Or, I don't know.
Yeah. They said that he was still like pretty confused and dazed and like couldn't really answer a whole lot of questions at this point. So he still seems like sort of out of sorts.
Some sort of amnesia or something.
Yeah, super
Very
weird.
Very strange. All right, I have one more story. I like this story. the a New York State College, Union College in New York, found something interesting in its library's archival collections. It found a lock of George Washington's hair. Union College said archivists going through the materials at the Schaefer Library discovered the first U.S. president's hair in an envelope tucked inside a leather book titled Gaines Universal Register or American and British Calendar for Year 1793. The envelope was labeled Washington's Hair, LSS, and scratched out GBS from James A. Hamilton, given to him by his mother on August 10th, 1871. You know who James A. Hamilton's mother was?
Who?
Angelica. Nope, wasn't Angelica. Eliza. Yes, it was Eliza.
Oh, I was hoping that you were like, nope, and it was Peggy instead.
If it were Peggy, that would be perfect.
But that'd be hilarious.
Eliza is the one who married Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
Eliza Schuyler Hamilton.
Schuyler.
Schuyler, sorry. I look at this and I just can't help but say Schuyler because it looks like Schuyler, yeah, but it's Schuyler. Eliza Schuyler Hamilton, which thanks to Lin-Manuel Miranda now is probably more popular and well-known than she has ever been.
Seriously.
Except and kind of possibly when so. She was alive, but probably even more so. In terms of numbers of people in her name, I'm sure it's more now.
Yeah. I mean, kind of deservedly so. She did a lot of really cool stuff and she put up with Hamilton, which is... pretty cool.
Yeah. So James Hamilton, the son of Alexander Hamilton and his wife, Eliza Schuyler Hamilton, owned the book. The book was inscribed to Philip J. Schuyler, brother of Eliza and son of General Philip Schuyler, a friend of Washington's. In an era when people frequently exchanged hair as a keepsake, it's quite probable that Martha had given Eliza some of George's hair, which in turn was given to their son James, who later distributed it strand by strand as a precious memento to close friends and family members, said Susan Holloway Scott, a scholar and author of the historical novel I, Eliza Hamilton. India Spartz, head of the Special Collections and Archives at Schaefer Library, said she was working to preserve the hair, the almanac, and a series of handwritten notes from Philip J. Schuyler that were also found inside the book. This is a very significant treasure, said This was a very significant treasure. I can't talk right now. I think it's the drugs. I'm going to blame the drugs, except for this happens to me on every podcast. This is a very significant treasure, Spartz said. It's a tremendous testament to history and to our collection and our connection to some of the most important historical figures. So a little strand of George Washington's hair. I like that it started out as a larger clump, and then they would just distribute it to their friends. Like, here, have a little bit of George Washington's hair.
Yeah, imagine that, like, in modern day, like, you're, like, sitting around at Christmas with your family, and you're just like, oh, this one's for me. It's from weird cousin... I don't know. What's the name of somebody who feels like they would give you hair for Christmas?
Cousin Cornelius.
Cousin Cornelius. And you open it and it's just like a clump of hair. And Cornelius is like, I heard you liked J.K. Rowling, so I got you a strand of her hair. And you're just like, oh, wow. Great.
So the other question that it raises for me, though, is should we clone George Washington?
We absolutely should.
So George Washington is largely considered one of our best presidents.
Yeah.
Like he's always like top three, I think. And yeah, there are probably like, if you dug into his historical past, I'm sure there are things he did that by today's standards would be horrible just because, you know, everyone was a little bit racist back then. But if you look at it, like at least by his contemporaries, everyone understood that George Washington was the best person to be president, and he was a good president, and he didn't, like, you know, he willingly stepped down from being president. He didn't try to make himself king or dictator, which he probably could have gone the Napoleon route
if he
wanted to. But he was a good president. He just did really solid good things. And he's the sort of thing, like, if we had the opportunity to have a George Washington president today...
Absolutely traded in a second.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So should we clone George Washington from this hair? I think we should at least consider it.
We should, like, don't even consider it. Do it immediately.
Just do it. Don't tell anyone and, like, make sure that child, that clone child, is, goes to a good family. Like, can one day save our country.
Mm-hmm. Like the avatar.
Not to get too political here.
Like the avatar, the reincarnated George Washington.
I read a book. They made it into a movie starring Gregory Peck in the 70s or 80s, but I read a book a long time ago, and I remember reading the book called The Boys from Brazil. Mm-hmm. And the premise to that book was that someone had cloned Hitler.
Yeah, yeah.
And it, like, put all these little child Hitlers around the world to be raised to be future Hitlers. And the kind of the protagonist of the book had to go around and try to figure out what to do about all these little baby Hitlers. Or they, I think they were like 10-year-old children at the time, 10-year-old boys. And so it raises a lot of ethical and moral issues about what you would do in, under that scenario.
Yeah, but I mean, DNA by itself really isn't evil.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you know, I don't, it's kind of hard to say, like, where did he go wrong? At one time, he was an aspiring art student. And then he became a horrible, horrible person.
Well, I don't feel like those two things are too far removed.
Well, you know, Hitler was the Hitler of Hitlers.
Really?
Yeah, you don't have to, like, you don't have to make a stretch analogy there. Like, people that compare things to Nazis, he was the Nazi, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I don't like Hitler.
I don't like Hitler either. If that alienates any of our audience, like, please stop listening to our show.
Yeah, we're just going to have to live with the backlash there.
Yeah, controversial statement. Nazis are bad, and Hitler was also bad.
I also think, controversial statement, George Washington, pretty good guy.
Yeah, pretty good. We're whipping out the political political stuff
really
today.
Taking some strong stands here. Kind of cool, though. They found some of his hair.
Yeah.
A cool thing to just stumble across as you're, like, going through the archive, too. Like, whoa, here it is.
Do you
and
think
I also
it...
like that it was Eliza's son that kept the hair.
Yeah. Do you think it was, like... Was it his real hair? I mean, like, I know people wore wigs and stuff back then.
I assume it was, yeah. I mean, the wig, hair from his wig wouldn't be very impressive, would it?
Yeah, that wouldn't be very impressive.
Yeah.
But his real hair, because I kind of assumed everybody just sort of shaved their heads and wore wigs over top of it. I don't know why I thought that, but I did.
All right, let's do, I've already played the theme. But let's play it again. Let's do a hypothetical or some hypotheticals.
Okay. What I just said was only hypothetical.
Oh. So I've got some hypotheticals that I found at the website www.hypothetical-questions.com, which is like a website where people can submit hypotheticals.
Oh, cool.
Some of them aren't that great, but some of these were pretty good. So I found some where we could discuss some hypotheticals. Let's try this first one. You have two pills. With one, you can change your past. And with the other one, you can see your future. Which one do you choose and why?
I don't think time is real.
Thanks for that. Now back to the hypothetical. If with one, you can change your past, and the other, you can see your future.
Oh, I kind of don't want to do either one. Because both of them are going to affect.
That's true. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, because changing yourself in the past is going to change you now.
And could change other people, too, in other situations.
It could change other people, too. Yeah, and, like, knowing your future, that's not even, like... From one point of view, you don't really even know if that's going to happen. But from another point of view, from, like, I guess a metaphysical sense, that's not even really you.
Okay, so let's break this down a little bit. With seeing your future, that's the big question is your future set?
Yeah.
Like, is there only one future or are there multiple futures? And if you're seeing one of multiple futures, how helpful is that? Because who knows what you're seeing will ever happen. If it's only one future, like you only have one future, everything's determined. I wouldn't want to know my future because, I don't know, that's depressing or suddenly I think it would be hard to be motivated if you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Or it could be the opposite. I mean, maybe you, like, see yourself and you're like, oh, I'm doing really well. I gotta, like, kick up my game here. I gotta, you know, work even harder and so that I can make sure that it happens.
So for either of those reasons, I don't really want to see my future. I guess it'd be better if there are multiple futures and maybe you could learn enough to avoid some of the bad consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the idea of seeing my future. I don't want to know what's out there. I want to just live it without knowing what's there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In terms of changing your past, so just given this hypothetical, if someone forces me to give an answer, I think I would choose the one which is like being able to change your past, but I would use it very selectively. Like I wouldn't change anything big. I would change just little things like maybe I said this stupid thing that offended someone. I'd just be able to take that back.
Yeah. I think if I thought hard enough, I could probably think of something that didn't affect anything else, but that I could safely change. Like maybe one time I went to Panda Express and I decided to take a risk and try a dish that I usually didn't do, and I didn't like it, and I wish that I would have ordered the orange chicken instead, like I always do every time.
Should have just stuck with the orange chicken. Or that one time when you spent like 45 minutes looking for your keys, and you finally found your keys. You could just change it to where you know where your keys are right from the beginning.
Never mind. I know exactly what I was going, what I'm going to do, and it's, I'm going to... Did I tell you that I lost my debit card a few months ago. I think, do you remember that?
I think so. I don't know.
Turns out, it was in, like I had put it in a slightly different pocket than I usually do in my wallet. So that's what I would change.
There it was. the whole time. But you lost a lot of stress over.
Yeah, I lost a lot of stress.
You lose a lot of stress. You gained a lot of stress
over it. I would lose a lot of stress by changing it. Yeah. Though. And just looking.
And you could spend those other hours and thoughts doing something more enjoyable.
It kind of ruined my entire day when I lost it. So, like, that's a day I get back, a day of happiness.
Okay, let's try another one. If for some reason you had to live a life of crime, what type of criminal would you be?
I like this one.
So for some reason you've got to be a criminal. What kind of a criminal would you be?
I think that I'm going to be a serial jaywalker.
You can be that today. You could just decide to be that.
Well,
Do you jaywalk?
Well, I can't answer that on the air.
I would like to remind you, you are under oath under penalty of perjury.
In that case, I forgot that I swore on the Bible. Oh, how do I forget something like that? Yes, I do jaywalk all the time. I live in Denton. It's kind of unavoidable.
I do sometimes, but a lot of times I won't.
You just won't?
I just won't. I guess it depends on like if you're in an area where there's traffic. I mean, I think everybody jaywalks if you're just like it's the middle of the night and there's no other cars around.
Yeah. Or like, I mean,
you don't want to walk way down to the end of the intersection where there's a crosswalk. You just, mm-hmm. you need to cross and there's nobody coming.
I mean, but I walk everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different.
But I have noticed like some cities are much more strict about that than others. Like in some cities, everyone jaywalks. In other cities, it's like people wait at the crosswalk. And some places will, like police will give you a ticket.
Yeah, no. In Denton, people just walk into traffic.
I think if I had to live a life of crime, I would be a gentleman jewel thief.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like very sophisticated. I've got, you know, expensive tastes. I pull off these elaborate heists. But everyone respects me because I'm an upstanding member of society.
Okay, you know what I would be? Is I would be a reverse Indiana Jones.
You'd be taking things from museums and giving them back to the Aboriginal people.
Yeah. I kind of want to be an art thief just because I would hang out a lot
in
museums.
Like the Robin Hood version of Indiana Jones.
Yeah. But also like just an art thief in general.
Yeah, an art thief.
Because I think, classy.
Somehow I think like the jewel thief, art thief, they're probably not as classy in real people, in real person. In real life? In real life. As the ones you see in the movies or...
Yeah. What I like about this question is that it implies that you will have a certain set of skills. Unless you're just really bad at it. Like, say that you're a forger. Like an art forger.
Yeah.
You have a very specific set of skills.
Exactly.
Maybe I'll be Liam Neeson Taken.
Or like, I don't know, like it would have to be, or like, you know, you're the person, the con man who does the long con, but you only con people who are horrible people that deserve to have their money redistributed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Seize the means of production, comrade.
No. All right, one last one here. Would you live your life differently if nobody would ever judge you for anything you did? And let's go ahead and take off the table the whole God question.
Yeah.
So let's not, this isn't like final judgment by God. This is just people that you know during your life. People that you know during your life would never judge you for anything you did. Would you live your life differently?
I think this would be a more relevant question to ask me in high school, because at this point, I don't really care that much.
I'm going to say the answer to this question for almost everybody is yes, because we all do things in a certain way because what if someone is watching? But it's sort of a qualified yes. Yes, in some sense, but maybe not about big things. Like about little things. I think everyone worries about little things. Like around and people are watching you, you might do something different than if you're totally alone.
I would fart way more in public.
There you go. But I think, but in the big picture, so if you're just talking about like big choices you make, it would be nice to be the type of person who doesn't worry about other people judging you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably more.
And it's hard to sort of gauge as you go through life how much you rely on the fact that other people might judge you for those decisions.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, I think most people want to think of themselves as, you know, I just do my own thing. I don't worry about what other people think. But I don't know how many people are actually like that. You know?
It seems like they've kind of been like kind of messed up, because I mean, judgment implies kind of like that they are thinking of you poorly, but I mean, judgment also includes like
thinking well
of somebody. Yeah. Judging.
And it also includes like your friends and your family members and the people you care about. Like you want them to think you're an okay person, right? You don't want to be a total psychopath.
No.
Or sociopath, I guess is more accurate. You don't want to be like, I'm just going to do whatever I want. I don't care what other people think. You should care to some extent what people think.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to tell, like, if they don't tell you, like, how this is going to impact their lives sometimes. Like, you might inconvenience somebody or really hurt them, but, like, since they're not, they're just like, no, it's cool, I won't judge you for it. Like, you can't really gauge how it's going to affect them. I think judgment is kind of a good thing sometimes.
Kind of, sort of. I mean, there's sort of societal norms that need to be enforced in some way. I'm not trying to be an authoritarian, but
no,
you know.
No, but I think that's not a controversial statement. Like, I don't think that people should go around just letting farts rip in public. Like, all the time. Like, just hold it in like a normal person till you get to the bathroom or till you're alone.
Yes. The other thing is, like, I think about this all the time. Like, I try not to be a judgmental person, but at the same time, I'm constantly judging people. Like, maybe not in a bad way, but I'm constantly like, you're constantly like, anytime you meet someone, you're sort of evaluating them and trying to figure out what kind of person they are and how that affects you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's,
and I think everybody does that. It's just a part of being alive and being a, you know, someone that's, I don't know, not vulnerable to being taken advantage of or things like that.
Yeah, or being hurt or
victimized
in some way. Yeah, I think that it's in place for a reason. And the fact that it's kind of impossible to avoid, like even things like stereotyping, like it's obviously pretty bad when it's used to like judge somebody before you have a chance to really meet them or know them. But at the same time,
we shouldn't be like enforcing negative stereotypes that are like very unflattering to certain groups.
Yeah. Or like just flat out untrue. But at the same time, it kind of informs your experience and sort of lets you know based on past experiences, how you should interact with that person.
Yeah. I gotta be honest with you. My back is starting to really bother me sitting in one place.
Sorry.
But we do have one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
All right. So for treat yourself today, I have some snacks that were brought to us from some friends of ours, AJ and Alex, who I think we may have mentioned on the podcast before, mm-hmm. who went with their family to Japan. And they know that we like Japan, so they brought us some treats from Japan that we're going to try.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alex and AJ, if you are listening. Thank you so much. Our studio audience also likes them a lot. Mm-hmm. There's three snacks here, three different kinds of candy. There is Hokkaido Yubari melon candy. There is Hokkaido condensed milk caramel candy. And there's some candy called, it's called Namakuro Ame. So it's, I don't know how that translates exactly. It's like black candy. And it says Shisa ga ipai. I don't know what that means. It's got a lot of shisa in it. It's full of shisa. I don't know what shisa is.
Oh, well, I love
though.
Shisa then.
But it's some sort of like a dark, it's like a brown sugar candy or something like that. Would probably be a decent translation.
Yeah, I was hoping we would
all right, which,
bust into those.
Which one do we want to try first? The melon candy? So Yubari melon is like... Yubari is a place in Hokkaido, which is the northern island of Japan. Yubari melons are the greatest melons in Japan. They're the melons that'll sell for like $100 to $200 a piece. They're like the perfect melons. It's a famous place for melons, and these melons are orange on the inside, which means they're sort of like what we would think of as a cantaloupe. Hokkaido. So when I lived in Japan many, many years ago, Hokkaido is where I lived, so I know some things about Hokkaido. Hokkaido is also famous for its dairy. So the Hokkaido condensed milk caramel. Hokkaido milk is considered really rich, good milk. And then I don't know anything about these. Oh, I guess these come from Okinawa. So I know when Alex and AJ and their parents were in Japan, they visited some satellite stores, which are like stores that specialize in other places' goods. And they went to one that was a Hokkaido store and one that was a Okinawa store. So it's the two extreme north and extreme south of Japan. And that's where they got these treats. Now I'm remembering they told me that. Which one do you want to try first? Do you want to try the Okinawan black sugar candy, the condensed milk caramels, or the melon candy?
Let's do the caramels.
All right. Let's do the condensed milk caramels. I'm going to pass you one to mute your mic so we don't chew into it. And you can, then we'll come back and let you know. Oh, I didn't do a good job. We'll come back and let our audience know what we thought. Okay, so starting off, the Hokkaido condensed milk caramel. What did you think?
Tastes. I mean, it's not like a caramel, I guess, in the traditional sense, like we think of them. It does taste very much like condensed milk, but in like a chewy little candy.
It tastes just like you would think it would taste if you tell yeah. someone told you it's a condensed milk candy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's delicious.
It's really good.
Yum 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 yum, delicioso.
Have you ever taken just a spoonful of condensed milk and?
Yes.
It's good, but it's so sweet.
Yeah, and it makes your mouth feel a little bit, like, sticky and weird.
These are kind of like that, but in a chewy candy, but they're not overly sweet somehow. They're really good. I like them. All right, let's try the Yubari melon caramels next. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, what do you think of the Yubari melon caramel candy?
It tastes pretty much exactly like if you've ever had, like, a really, really ripe cantaloupe before. Like, really strong. For, I guess, a cantaloupe.
Yeah, it does. It's really got a strong melon flavor. How would you rate it?
Delicious. I would say it's
yum,
delicioso.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I agree. These are also delicious.
It's
They're
the
really
same...
good. I like melon flavor, though.
Yeah, me too.
Melon flavor is really big in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And these are very melony, very tasty.
I
also like chewy candy.
Here. Yeah, me too.
Big fan
they're
of
the
chewy
same,
candy.
They're the same texture as the caramel, the condensed milk caramels. Which is kind of, I mean, it's kind of comparable to Starburst, but it doesn't leave like your teeth sticky or anything. It's just nice and clean. I don't know.
Really good.
Really,
really
good.
Chewy, mm-hmm. really tasty. All right. The last one we've got here are the Okinawan candy, Okinawan black sugar candy that are full of shisa. Don't know what shisha is. I have no idea.
I hope it's good, whatever it is.
All right. Let's try it out. It's like a hard candy with something in the middle of it. Wow, that's got a lot of shisha in it. I still don't know what shisha is, but it's full of shisha.
It tastes really strongly of molasses.
Yeah, it does. It tastes like molasses. Mm-hmm. It tastes a lot like molasses. So if you like molasses, you might like this. If you really like molasses, you'll love it.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Not a huge fan of molasses, but it's okay, I guess.
I think I'm there too. I'm tempted to say delicious because it's sweet, and I actually do kind of like molasses, but I don't love molasses enough for this to be my favorite candy.
Yeah, and it kind of like, it. We both took like a long pause because it was like really sticking to our teeth kind of in that.
Yeah, sticky, very gooey.
Oof, yeah.
I would say that it's... Oklahoma, okay. Yep. Very strong molasses flavor. If you hate molasses, you're going to hate this because that's just what it is.
Yeah, basically.
I did kind of like that it's a hard candy, but it's kind of, when you get into it, it's a little bit chewy.
Yeah.
It does stick to your teeth.
A lot of shisha.
Tons of shisha. Full of shisha. Lots and lots of shisha. Maybe someday I'll figure out what shisha is. Shisha is written in a way that it would be like a foreign word. So a lot of times it's written in katakana, which is like the phonetic alphabet they use for foreign words. So a lot of times I can sort of figure out what it is. I have no idea what shisha is, though.
Huh.
I don't know. Maybe it's an Okinawan word. I don't know. And that is our podcast. So thank you, Elizabeth, for participating.
No problem.
Thank you to Alex and AJ for providing our treats for Treat Yourself. Thank you to everyone who did listen. If you listen, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, at talktodadpodcast.com. If you want to email us, you can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. If you really want to help us out, one thing you can do is you can go on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, that helps other people find the podcast. But otherwise, you can find the podcast however you want to. If you're listening to us now, I assume you found us somehow. So keep up the good work. We will keep making it. And this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. There's time for-